أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد
It was mentioned that Ma'asum, he says, Man asgha ila natiqin faqad abadah. That you listen to someone, it's as if you've worshipped him. And if that person who you are listening to speaks about God, you've worshipped God. And if he speaks about Iblis, you've worshipped Iblis. Many a times, things, they become confused. We don't know what is right. We don't know what is wrong. And many a times, especially what is happening nowadays, is that you find things being said in the name, in the dress, in all these different things that we have in the name of Islam. We have to be very careful that for that ma'asum again, he says that kalimatu haqqin yuradu bihil batil. That you find it's the slogan, it's the flag of haqq, but the intentions and the focus is batil. So we have to be very careful, especially the children, that there is this saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Nahj al-Balagha, he says that you have to be kayyis, you have to be smart. And when it comes to you being smart, says that be like a baby camel. A baby camel, no one can ride on it, nor can benefit from its milk. So you have to be smart. Now what we see nowadays is that, for example, the Facebook. My humble opinion would be all the children, girls and boys, deactivate your accounts from Facebook. There's no need. It's just filth. It's all your personal information that is being rotated worldwide. There's no need for that. And sooner or later you'll regret that why did I activate my account over there? Why did I post my pictures over there? And then it's too late. And mending that will be also tough. So that is something to be careful. And when it comes to asking for fatwas, inquiring a mujtahid, again we talked on this issue the other day, that you ask the question in a way so that you get the answer which you want. For example, the example that was mentioned the other day is that you ask the mujtahid, can we do that? He says, yes, it's okay. Can we do that? That's also okay. What about these together? Okay, that's fine. And then they mix it in these steps of dance in a combined form. So it's that same broken, hyphenated step that is now in the form of a dance, which becomes haram. Or for example, when it comes to tattoos, for example, they say, is it okay? And you get an answer. But when you ask someone, be smart, because you know deep down in your heart what the answer is. Say that, is it okay for me to have a tattoo? Because this tattoo will be continued with a sleeveless top, which will follow with some piercing, which will again continue with a world map on my head, scraped. So if you ask the question that way, you'll get the answer that way, whether it's halal or whether it's haram. So just asking, of the same thing with the dress code, that what type of dress code should we have. So we have to be smart, smart in the positive way, that what we want is that true obedience of Allah, true obedience of Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam that we find in this dua of Imam al-Asr, make it a habit to recite it as much as you can. Imam Ubadah says that Allahumma rizukna tawfiq al-ta'ah, that God bless me, grant me a tawfiq, an opportunity of being obedient to you. So it is as such that even being obedient to Allah and getting an opportunity for obedience, that is a grace from Allah. Now that we are all present over here, this again is a special sight, special eye that Ma'sumeen have on us, as a result of which we've been brought into this majlis. So it means that we are special. So now that we are special, we have to be smart. And that smartness is what is taught to us. Don't let anything get into your eyes. Don't let anything get into your ears. Keep it clean. Now, inshallah, today we'll come to this point. Why do I say all this? What is the reason why after Ashura these points are being mentioned? If you look into the concept of Tawbah that we discussed in the last few days, it is one of those beautiful graces of Allah that He has on us. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, an oil seller, a good person, he used to come to the mosque and place his head on the wall, that is on Masjid al-Nabi, where Rasulullah used to be. And there, what he used to do is just stand over there with his head resting on the wall. He used to look at Rasulullah, just gaze at him. And then he continued, Rasulullah was busy with his work. And after a while, he comes back, continues with his work. Again, when he's reminded of Rasulullah, he comes to the mosque again and starts looking at him. One day, he comes to the mosque, Rasulullah says to him, "Don't you have any work? Why are you here?" He says, "I have a lot of work today, but I was missing you so much, so desperately, I said to myself, I have to come and look at you and then go back." For a few days, that person was absent. He didn't come. Now this time, Rasulullah comes to the town, inquiring where that oil seller is. And the people, they said that he died 2 days ago. Rasulullah says, "I was missing him, I came to see him, and now he is informed that he has died." People said that he was a good person, but there were some shortfalls, some shortcomings in him. The Rasulullah says, "Don't say that. He was a wonderful person. Allah has forgiven him. Just for that sight which he had, that love, that bond which he had to Rasulullah, just leave everything behind, come and stand and look at him." During the time of Prophet Isa, a person, Prophet Isa to someone says that, "Who do I ask for my dua to be accepted?" In reply, says that, "Someone who has repented, someone who has done tawbah." That is, he is clean. No trace of sin is on him. Ask for your tawbah from him. So someone who has repented, you go and ask him, or that you have a dua, just ask him to say Ameen. When he says that Ameen, for you, all of your duas will be accepted as a result of that tawbah. So tawbah, someone who has performed that, asked Allah for him to be forgiven, is forgiven. Now, this ayah in Quran, it's so beautiful, says that regarding tawbah, "Man taaba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan," someone who asks Allah to be forgiven, repents, "wa amila amalan salihan," and then tops it up with some good deeds, "fa ulaika," says Allah to that person who has repented, topped it up with good actions, "yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat," all that evil which he had done, Allah says, "That is a gift from me. I will top it up, change all that bad of yours to good." That is that beautiful grace of Allah, wa kana Allahu ghafuran rahima. Says that, "Man taqarraba ilayya shifran taqarrabtu ilayhi dhira'a," that someone who steps towards me one step. Shifr means about half a foot. Someone who has come towards Allah that little distance, Allah says that I drag him towards myself. So tawbah, asking Allah to forgive us, it's one of those great graces that he has. No matter, now we all know what wrong and what fault is in us, because Quran says that each one of us knows what is wrong in us. We don't need to confess, because confession is haram. Don't need to say that to anyone. You yourself, me myself, with my God, speak to him, tell him that all this wrong and filth is in me, and clear it, clean it. And all that is possible. When it comes to tawbah, there is this beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet. He says that if in a town as big as this town, how many people live here? 4 million? 3 million? I don't know. Says, from this town, if one person repents, just one person, says, the entire town will be forgiven as the repentance, as a result of the repentance of that one person. That tawbah, it has that great effect. And when a person is forgiven, it means it's immense downpour of mercy on that nation, on that town. We talked about crying for Aba Abdullah almost every day. And this crying for Aba Abdullah, it is a worship, it is an ibadah. And it was mentioned to come to this worship with taharat, with an intention of qurbatan ilallah, seeking the nearness of Allah. And these majalis that are held for Aba Abdullah, they have miraculous effects. Now you see, in these days, worldwide, millions of majalis are being held. Millions. In various languages. And each majlis, there is something which is being said, as a result of which people, they learn. That education is there. That elevation is there. That relationship with ma'sumeen is strengthened. So it means that there is all that immense impact of these majalis. And all the credit goes to Aba Abdullah. So that Aba Abdullah, one sacrifice, and all these masail, all these issues that are being mentioned, is as a result of these gatherings, which are educational, which are spiritual, which revive, which enhance an individual to the right path, to the right goal, and the goal of Aba Abdullah. Now these majalis, they guarantee our hereafter. They guarantee our barzakh. These majalis revive us. These majalis revive our children. So much of emphasis has been given regarding these majalis. There is another issue which we find over here in these majalis, is that when we attend to a majlis of Aba Abdullah, it is the price which Rasulullah wants is being, or the right which he wants is being given to him. When he comes to the, he has served, Rasulullah has served for 63 years. Now someone who has served 24/7 needs to be paid. Wages must be given. That is his right. He says, La as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. Says, if you want to pay me by that love you have to the near kins of mine, to Ahlul Bayt. And that right, that price of Rasulullah is paid, a little bit is given to him by observing these majalis. So that again, it's another bonus. So not crying is being disloyal to the Prophet. So crying means we are loyal to Rasulullah. That again is that mawadda fil qurba that Quran has mentioned. When you look into the ahadith, I'll quote a hadith, says that someone who cries for Aba Abdullah, says that one who cries for Aba Abdullah, Allah wa sallallahu ala al-baqin ala al-husayn rahmatan wa shafaqatan. That someone who cries for Aba Abdullah, Allah sends salutations on that person. Like the salutations we send upon Rasulullah. Here says that Allah sends salutations upon someone who cries for Aba Abdullah. So all this huge, big bonus that has been given to us when we cry for Aba Abdullah. When the sacrifice of Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail was being given, so giving that sacrifice of Ismail was the greatest reward or the greatest task that a person could have had done in that time and the maximum ajr he could have received. Now Prophet Ibrahim, when he wanted to sacrifice, it changed to a lamb and Prophet Ismail wasn't sacrificed. And then when he is informed that that great big honor has been taken away from him, he cries. He's informed of Abu Abdullah, then he starts crying for Abu Abdullah and Hussein. And then Allah says, Ibrahim, these tears that you have shed for my Hussein, I will accept them as the sacrifice of Ismail from you. So that great big honor, great big thawab and ajr, that the greatest sacrifice is compared to those tears shed for Abu Abdullah. There are many benefits. When you cry for Abu Abdullah, it's a kafara, an atonement of the sins that we have done. Means of elevation. No one is higher than the Prophet. No one. But someone who cries for Abu Abdullah is in the same rank as Rasulullah. So much of resemblance a person gets. Again says, accompanying Hazrat Zahra as she cries for the Imam every day, or resembling the Imam of time who cries for the Imam twice a day. So again, all this love talk that we have, bonuses mentioned in the riwayat of Ma'sumeen, which are all haq. And we ask Allah and we thank Him for this honor that we have been all blessed with, and for that never to be taken away from us ever. The other thing is that, a question to you all, so that we look into ourselves, that what is the reason for this? And that is, you fast a whole month of Ramadan. For example, this summer, in London, the days were so long that Fajr was 2:30 in the morning, Maghrib was 9:40 p.m. So a fast of about 19 and a half, 20 hours. So a person has fasted for that long. But on the day of Ashura, you just observe that faqa. That is for about 6-7 hours. And again, it is not wajib. We just observe, we refrain from eating and drinking for a few hours. Weather conditions, not extremes. It's everything was fine, everything was indoors. No exposures to extreme heat or cold, everything was indoors. How come on the day of Ashura you feel so exhausted? How come? And on the next day, which is the 11th, you feel light. Extremely light. What is the reason for that? Again, if you look into the day of Arafah, those of you who have been to Hajj, and those of you who haven't, inshallah, may all of you be blessed to perform this duty. On the day of Arafah, it's the day there is nothing to be done in Arafat. We just have to be present in Arafat for half a day. Again, we find that nearer to the Maghrib, the only thing to be done in Arafat is one dua, if someone wants to do it. That also, again, is optional. At the time of Maghrib or after Maghrib, you find that you are so light. Why is that? Or for example, the same day, on the day of Qadr, if you have a Laylatul Qadr, the day which follows the night of Qadr, you feel light. Why? Or for example, on the day of Eid. Now if you observe that day of Eid as it is to be observed and taught to us by Ma'sumeen, you find that although it's not a fasting day, we don't fast on that day, but after your Eid prayers, you find that you are so light. You must have experienced it. And what is the reason for that? What is the reason for that sudden weight loss? Why is that? The person feels. Now, someone who has excessive dehydration, they do have those feelings, but again, they feel sick. But over here, that's not the case. You feel so light. Quran says, that in Surah Yasin, inna ja'alna fi a'naqihim aghlalan fahiya ila al-adqani fahum muqmahun, that surely we have placed chains on their necks and these reach up to their chins, so they have their heads raised aloft. The term aghlal means, it's a plural of ghil. It means chains. It has been used 7 times in Quran, and the term ghil also has been used quite a few times. Says aghlal means chains, and with these heavy chains, it's now the camel when he wants to drink water, you find the head is always raised, even when the camel wants to drink water. Over here it says that the sins of an individual, they are a burden on him. They drag him and they cling him towards the earth. That burden on him, which does not allow him to raise the head, as a result of which, that raising of the head is like the raising of the head of a camel. So, ghil means all those chains, all those shackles, all those sins that are present in an individual. And a sin, it is heavy. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, which Quran also talks about in other ayat. Say, it's the same thing, that the wrong that we do, all this, a lesson to myself first, all the wrong that we do throughout our life, that wrong is filth. It's a burden, it's a pain, it is heavy. And that does not allow us to elevate, does not allow us to move towards perfection. This majlis of Aba Abdullah, the miraculous effect of it is that on the day of Ashura, it's a day of grief, it's a day of azam, it's a day of sorrow, we believe it. Now keeping that aside, another thing which we get on the day of Ashura by associating to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, because he is all pure, we want to get closer to him, we also have to become pure. So for us to be attracted to that purity of Aba Abdullah, what happens is that as a result of that crying, sincerity, khulus, all the sins that are in us, they are shed. As a result of that attraction, that bond a person has with Aba Abdullah. Hadith says, La yuhibbuna ahad wala yatawallana, that no one would love us, no one would follow us, but that as a result of that love, as a result of that following us, Allah will purify your heart. Allah will purify you. So that is a huge big bonus which we have for this majlis of Aba Abdullah, that on the day of Ashura, although you've cried, now over here we don't do too much, it's just 2 or 3 hours, grief, crying, azadari, matam, that's it. And no, there are long processions all days out, but still we find the next day we are exhausted. That exhaustion is the shedding of the sins. That burden of sins which we were carrying on our souls, that has been reduced, as a result of which we feel so light and exhausted. So that is the barakah of this crying for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. So because you've destroyed, in another hadith, the Prophet says that, Yabna Rasulullah, salawat. Says that, Rajulun, a person comes to our second Imam and asks, Yabna Rasulullah, Ma baalana nakrahil maut wala nuhibbuhu. Says Ibn Rasulullah, why is that we don't like death? We are so much scared of death. فَقَالَ, he replies, لِأَنَّكُمْ أَخْرَبْتُمْ آخِرَتَكُمْ, because you've destroyed your akhirah. Because you've destroyed your akhirah and you've constructed this dunya of yours, it's scary, it's frightening. But if you construct the hereafter and give more emphasis and importance to the hereafter, then there's no worry, there's nothing to worry. So that again is something which we learn from these majalis, that as a result of an acquaintance, an attachment to this majlis of Aba Abdullah, that akhirah is constantly reminded to us. That is, we have to construct the hereafter, the akhirah. Or elsewhere says that by God, one would not love us even if he was a hostage in Dainam, but that our love will benefit him, and indeed our love sheds the sins from the sons of Bani Adam, from the sons of Adam, like the wind which sheds the leaves from a tree. So this majlis of Aba Abdullah has that great miraculous effect, that if we sincerely come, attend, sit, cry, an immediate effect is that shedding of sins is there, like the shedding of the trees from a leaf, the shedding of leaves from the trees. This is one side of it. The other thing which we talked about now, just a very quick glance, and that is regarding tawakkul, to rely upon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the affairs look like, there's nothing to worry. There is someone else who is looking after us. In one of these ahadith, the Prophet says to Abu Dharr that in sirraka an takuna aqwan nas tawakkal 'ala Allah. If you want to be the strongest among the people, fatawakkal 'ala Allah. Rely upon God and you will be strong. Wa in sirraka an takuna akramun nas fattaqillah. And if you want to be among the most respectful among the people, be muttaqi. Muttaqi means that framework that Allah has set. To do, do. Where he says, don't do, don't do. It's a simple framework. He says, you observe that, you will be classified as a muttaqi, someone who observes taqwa. And someone who observes taqwa, he says that he will be the most respectful person in town. And then says, وَإِنْ سَرَّكَ أَنْ تَكُونَ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. And if you want to be the richest among the people, فَكُنْ بِمَا فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَوْثَقُ مِنْكِ. Then that which is with Allah, have more faith in that than what is with you now. Now, I may be having a few $100 in my pocket now. Do I need them, or do I need that money which I will need later on and which I will not have? That is what I need, not what I have now. Says that have faith in that which is with Allah more than that which is with you. That again is a lesson of tawakkul which he teaches over here. Again, it was mentioned the other day that here Rasulullah mentions it to Abu Dharr. Says that لو أن الناس كلهم أخذوا بهذه الآية لكفتهم. Says if all the mankind, if they acted in accordance to this one ayah, which was mentioned the other day, that should be sufficient for them. What is that? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That is, whosoever observes taqwa is God-wary, and Allah will find him an outlet. No matter when, wherever you get stuck, he will find you an outlet. And it was mentioned repeatedly that the outlet to every dead end is the majlis for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. You will find an outlet over here. If you don't find a solution to what your problems are, sit and cry for Aba Abdullah. You will find an answer quickly. That is the fast track in getting a solution to all the dead ends that we have. Tonight, it's the 12th of Muharram, and the caravan of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein was being taken by the bodies. Now when this caravan comes towards Karbala, being taken from Karbala, everyone threw himself over the bodies that lay bare in the desert. Only one person he couldn't come, and that is our fourth Imam, who was shackled in chains and who could not move from that place. Here, Zainab Kubra, she is the mother of all the shuhada who are present. Now she, although she is the mother of two shaheeds, she rushes towards the body of Abu Abdullah. Now, how did she recognize? That too is again a mystery. Now, that body of Abu Abdullah could not be distinguished in any way. She comes to the body. Now, it's the fragrance which she knows, because she has been raised with Abu Abdullah. Comes to the body, places her hands under the body of Abu Abdullah, says, Ilahi taqabbal minna hadhal qurban. Says, Ya Allah, accept this sacrifice from us. All of a sudden, she sees that Imam Sajjad is restless on the right, and Imam is crying for the aunt. She places the body on the ground and comes to Imam and comforts him. Says, my brother's remnant, that is Baqiyatul Madin, why are you restless? He says, aunt, it seems that these people, they don't even recognize us as Muslims. How come all of those killed from their side have been buried, have been laid to rest, but none of us have been buried? When it comes to the time that this caravan needs to move, each one of them rides on the camel, and embarking a camel, it's a tough task. It's not easy. Then it were those members, the brothers of Abu Abdullah, his sons, who used to assist the women and children embark the camel.